Welcome again to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today will be Giannis Janaeus and David Hulley, who was at Craven Cottage yesterday. This episode, we're going to be discussing 3-2 victory for Fulham against Wigan Athletic. Later on, we're going to preview the upcoming match for Fulham against Nottingham Forest. We have much to get through, but before we do anything, I have to welcome my co-host back to the show. First, Mr. Hulley, how you doing?
Hi there, Russ. I hope we don't have the technical difficulties we did on Friday night, because that was an excellent show. That was one of our best ever shows, you know. It just fell on the cutting room floor. But let's hope today we have a truly excellent show. Obviously, for all the listeners out there, one day we're going to release the reel of bloopers and outtakes, and it will be a show worth listening to in itself. But today, we're going to concentrate, hopefully, on yesterday's very interesting and much debatable match, I think, against Wigan.
I look forward to that, David. I really do. I want your take on this match. And, of course, we also have Giannis on the line. Giannis, how you doing, my friend?
Hello. Hello, everybody. It's lovely. It's snowing a bitch up here. And it's pretty cold. And I'm supposed to be, actually, I broke my clavicle last Sunday. And I'm supposed to be going out to practice rugby. But there's probably a better chance of me dating my mother-in-law, so it's probably
nil.
So instead, I get to have you two lovely gentlemen as company while we talk about beating those scammy little Northwesterners.
Okay, and I look forward to doing the show with you two comedians, because you guys are pretty funny. So I definitely look forward to this. But let's start with opening thoughts. Giannis, I'll start with you, and then we'll go to David, who was at Craven Cottage. You watched the replay. Your thoughts on what happened yesterday?
Well, a bit messy. Nice fight back. Slava did well with the subs. I'm actually very concerned with a lot of people who jumped off buildings, tripped off cliffs, slashed wrists, took overdoses of Valium at halftime when we were losing 2-1, and saying that the end of the world was nigh if we lost to Wigan, and seeing them eat crow pie because it was a nice fight back in the end, and it was in the best of ways. It was done in a dramatic fashion with Gentleman Jim sounding like he'd just given birth to triplets.
Or it quadruplets. Certainly did sound like that.
He was a very happy camper, and it's always nice to win late. The same way as it's always, you know, it's just as dramatically bad if you lose it late. But overall, I'm pleased with the 3 points. Bring on the Forest.
Okay, excellent. David, you were at Craven Cottage. This was a crazy match. Just want your opening thoughts about what you watched yesterday.
No, it was a crazy match because we saw kind of, well, I'd like to say we saw the best of Fulham, but I'm not sure if we did yesterday. We certainly saw the worst of Fulham. We saw...
I agree with that.
Yeah, I saw how reliant we seemed to be on Tom Callas, of course. And
absolutely.
Without him, we had, like, you think about me and... me and Giannis being the comedians, I think we had, well, probably the three stooges in defence as well. Like, isn't that our co-host Craig or something? Craig, Larry, and someone else were the three stooges, wasn't it? Craig, Curly, Larry, and God knows.
Curly, Larry, Mo, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Craig, Larry, and Harlan, yeah, was in defence of three stooges. And we certainly did. We had some comedy in the defence and some terrible things going on. Strange substitutes, actually. I will talk about that later. That,
yep,
I think in some ways he screwed the substitutions up, even though we got the result in the end.
Okay.
And then a winning goal, which was, you know, if you look at the angles, it was almost an own goal by our former favourite Dan Byrne as well. Because, you know, was it actually going to be going in until he touched it? I don't know. But, you know, we saw all sorts of things. We won and we got the 3 points, and that's the main thing. And I thankfully was spared Gentleman Jim's orgasm or whatever happened online, because so you didn't say orgasm, did you? I shouldn't have said that, but sorry about that. I mean, okay. His delirium. I was spared his delirium, yeah, thankfully. But I came away feeling quite flat, actually, though we won the game, because this was almost a massive, massive banana skin that we fell over on our asses on. We just somehow at the last minute grabbed hold of a nearby passing handrail or something and steadied ourselves, because we nearly screwed our whole season up yesterday, I think, by, you know, a performance like that where we were still the better team, but somehow Wigan almost won it.
They did, David, and I want to go right back to you before we go any further, and then I want to go to you, Giannis. Listen, we've seen these results happen against Fulham, you know, Fulham not get the result when we felt that they needed to. Isn't this what good teams do? You know, Brighton does this. You know, they find a way to win. So I want to get your thoughts about this. I know that the performance isn't what we hoped it would be. They almost blew it, but they found a way to win. Is that encouraging in itself?
Yeah, that's bang on. I mean, you know, when you win, I've said it before, when you win, you're never as good as you think you are. And we although we had a lot of possession yesterday, we didn't have many shots on net. And, you know, Wigan have been struggling, but they gave us a tough time. We didn't seem to be able to get going. And even after we'd taken the lead, we just toughed it out. We scrapped it out. We found a way. We did it in the most dramatic of fashion. And it's funny because if you look at the results from yesterday, I mean, there were some real, you know, some surprises. Leeds losing to Cardiff, obviously, was probably the biggest one of the division. And it goes to show teams are going to slip up. And all we can do is take care of business. And we've got some fantastically winnable games coming up. So it's great that we got the 3 points. And Forest lost yesterday, so hopefully we can take that advantage yesterday and get something. I mean, Forest got hammered by Norwich, 5-1. So they're not going to be in a very good mood anyway. But if we get 3 more points on Tuesday night, we're right back in the thick of things. And I don't think there's a fan out there that's going to really give a bollocks how we do it, if it goes off somebody's ass or whatever. As long as we can get the chance to get the points, I think that's what we're looking for.
Okay, very good, David. I want your thoughts on this. You know, listen, I've been complaining when they played well but did not get the result. Didn't play their best. Like you said, this wasn't a very good performance. We were the better team. They found a way to win. Is that encouraging for you?
Well, the big difference is that this season we have salvaged many, many points in the last minutes of the match, where last season...
Point.
Never happened last season. Last season we gave away some
Wolves
points.
Too, you know. Wolves.
I mean, Wolves is a bit of an anomaly because we should have blitzed them. We were well up at half time and we came back and gave them the game almost and had to salvage it at the end. You know, Burton, Sheffield Wednesday, to name a couple, we've, you know, snatched things at the last. And there's been others. The only one I can think that's gone the other way really was the early game at Leeds, where we were all over them, and that we allowed Chris Wood, unfortunately, a late equaliser, which, you know, just think of that point less that Leeds would have had and that point more we'd have had. It could have been crucial. The thing that really annoys me, however, with this is it seems that every time I check the table, we're always in ninth place and we're always 6 points behind the playoffs. It doesn't really matter. You know, I could wake up from a coma in 15 years and we'd still be in the same position, and that we haven't been taking our chances. We've done enough to stay where we are, but we haven't taken enough chances. You know, look at the Birmingham match. Couldn't win for years, and we give them points away. Look at Reading away. Beat them 5-0 at home and then was pretty abject away. You know, those 6 points would have put us into the playoffs now. And, you know, that makes a big difference. It's still doable, but it just every week it gets harder and harder. And we say, you know, we look at these winnable matches in front of us. Yeah, well, Wigan, you know, second from bottom of the table, you know, at home was certainly a very winnable match. And it was a winnable match, but only just. So, you know, we can't really count our chickens. I wish we could. But, you know, we've done just as well against some of the big teams as we have against some of the worst teams. At least the bigger teams allow us to play. Look at that. You know, we beat Huddersfield and Reading, third and fourth, 5-0 at home. Wigan, we struggled against. Rotherham, we struggled against.
Yeah, we did.
You know, QPR, we lost. And you know, so don't take anything for granted. But, you know, just be pleased for now, in the short term, I guess, that somehow we did get a late goal and snatch the points at the end yesterday.
Okay, very good there, my friend. Right back to you. Like we've talked about, we had technical difficulties on the last show, but you got the starting 11 right. So thoughts on it?
Well, it was fairly obvious in the main. We knew that Odoi would have to come in for Fredericks. I think that was the given one. It was who they choose out of the two centre backs to play alongside Ream, as he's been pretty much a fixture. You thought he would be playing, and yeah, I got it right with Maddle, just because on the basis that I think Maddle is just as good in the air as Sigurdsson is. He does actually jumps where Sigurdsson doesn't, and Maddle's a better footballer on the ground. So he got the nod from me, and he got the nod from Slav. I think, again, Malone coming back in for Sessegnon was pretty obvious. And the other one was, you know, I think it's been coming for a few weeks. Aiti getting the starting position. So the team, the starting 11 was as I expected to be. I can't say I'm absolutely ecstatic about it because, you know, I know that our defence without Callas, you know, is creaky. And without Fredericks, I was also worrying that we'd lose some of our cut and thrust that we've had down the right. But it was the team that I thought would start, and really it should still be good enough to beat Wigan, of course. And it was, but only just. So that's the thing that worries me a little bit.
Okay. And David brought up some points that that I was thinking of when we were doing the preview show, which we couldn't release. Tomas Callas being out, I think it played out. I think he was a big loss in this match. I even think that Ryan Fredericks was a loss, but hey, Dennis Adoy scores a goal, so we could call that, you know, basically, you know, evening itself out. But I thought the big loss was going to be Callas, and definitely felt it watching it back and listening to it. And Giannis, I want to go to you. When you saw the starting 11, what were your thoughts? And also talk a little bit about the loss of Callas here.
Well, that was really my main focus of attention, is the loss of Callas. He's been an absolute rock at the back this year. Absolute rock. And Ream has, I think, become a better player by playing with Callas at the back. Not that I've got anything against Maddell, because I don't, but, you know, the three of them, the one that I would do without is probably Ream. And, of course, Sigurdsson maybe find himself a little unlucky. That apart, it was really the lineup you thought. Ayuso was going to come back in. The only question mark for me, slightly, might have been Martin, because I thought he was very disappointing against Birmingham. He didn't look very interested. And unfortunately, he continued that trend again today. Oh, yesterday. And it does beg the question for the Forest game on Tuesday night, whether Slava, having subbed him yesterday, whether he may make a change up there and maybe put Syriac up front to start on Tuesday. Because the one good thing that got us back into the game was just the amount of effort that we put in. And I mean, Martin's movement off the ball wasn't good enough. And frankly, if you think that you've got a player there that's being a liability, especially when you're chasing the game, I think you've got to sometimes make the difficult decisions. And that's one I think Slava's going to have to face over the next 48 hours. Does he pick him on Tuesday? He was very disappointing yesterday. But apart from that, I mean, the lineup was, I know some people say maybe Bettinelli could have got in, but Button, on the basis of some of his saves yesterday, certainly justified his nod in net.
Okay, very good. And David, before we go to first half observations, I want to ask you about Chris Martin, because I listened to the broadcast live with Gentleman Jim, and let's just say he was critical of Chris Martin throughout the match until he was taken off. He was very critical. So I want your thoughts about this, because Giannis made his thoughts clear about Chris Martin in this match. How about you? Was he disappointing in this match?
Well, we almost did a bit of a Goldman yesterday, actually. We was in the restaurant at lunchtime having our traditional lunch before the match, and on came Coldplay, Chris Martin singing. We thought, here's an omen here. This is an omen, a Russ special here. He's going to score a hat-trick today, obviously. But in fact, it was pretty much the opposite.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say he played poorly. I'd say that he just wasn't involved very much. He just didn't get in the game. But some of it was down to perhaps the fact that, you know, we were a bit disjointed with Fulham. We weren't as slick and flowing as we have been. And I'm not sure if whether the lack of Piazon. Piazon likes to hold the ball and play lots of little short passes here and there. Aiti offers a different thing, but also something I think Mike noted as well. When we started yesterday, we started with Aiti on the right and Aluka on the left. And I just didn't like that. I really didn't think it worked at all. And I think Chris Martin ended up quite isolated. So I'm not going to be too harsh on him. He certainly didn't have much involvement in the game. But the few times that he chased the ball down, he chased the ball down well.
I didn't notice that.
It was a disjointed performance. And I just, you know, everyone has an off day. You know, you can't expect every player to play well every game. He just was, you know, he wasn't really in the game. That's all I can say. It wasn't that he'd made lots of mistakes. Other players made much more mistakes than he did. He just didn't get in the game.
Okay, fair enough. And I just want to say I'm glad that you mentioned the balls that he did track down. And then there were a couple of short passes that that were close to really coming off. So
that's right.
So yeah, he was involved somewhat, but maybe it had more to do with everything else around him. So So fair enough, because this wasn't one of his best matches, but good point by you, David. Some others had worse matches than Chris Martin, very much so. So let's get into this. Let's go to your first half observations, David. I'll just share some key moments I wrote down, and then you can just walk us through the first half. I'm just going to mention in the 21st minute, you have the yellow card from Sonny Luca. I definitely want your thoughts on this, if you thought this was a yellow. Again, Gentleman Jim was adamant he thought this was a soft yellow, so I want your thoughts on it. It did look a little soft to me. Then on the 24th minute, you have the goal that was set up by Sonny Luca. Really nice goal by Floyd Ayite. And then the 27th minute, just 3 minutes later, you have a mistake by Tim Ream, leads to a shot by Omar Bogle, but it hits the side netting. And I just want to mention this. Omar Bogle seemed to be dangerous the entire match when he was on. So I think that was a precursor to some of the things that would happen later on, because I think he made life dangerous for Fulham, made it difficult, I should say, not dangerous, but difficult. In the 31st minute, then, Wigan gets the equalizer as Scott Malone hits the ball into the net. Then the first minute of stoppage time, Jacob scores for Wigan to give them the lead at the half. All right, David, I want your first half observations, and then I'll go to Jans.
We started pretty well. We were putting pressure on them. They don't really have much sort of danger at our end. I mean, the Aluku booking, however, I think it was right. The reason why I was annoyed with it was because there was a similar kind of thing by a Wigan player in a similarish position that didn't get a booking. It was a cynical challenge. The guy had gone past him and he stopped him going. So anything that's cynical is always going to be a yellow card. So I've got no problem with that. But in the first half, I can't remember who it was who got kicked at. But the referee played a good advantage because we had down the right hand side. And right. He should have gone back and booked the Wigan player after that, because it was just a cynical, you know, kick to try and trip the guy up. It wasn't malicious, but it was cynical. But we just about rode the challenge. Stumbled on, played on. We got into a good attacking position. Then afterwards, the ref should have pulled it back for a booking. So that was my only complaint about it. I've got no problem with cynical challenges being given a yellow card, and that's what it was. Unfortunately, Gentleman Jim wears his rose-tinted glasses too much. And unless someone is, like, you know, cut in half with a machete, he thinks it's like a soft booking. But you get soft bookings. You get more soft bookings. You know, if you make a genuine attempt for the ball, but, you know, it's a bit of a hard challenge. You know, the ref might give a free kick, but if it's soft and cynical, you'll get a yellow card. That's the way it is. Anyway, as onto the goal. See, as soon as we saw Aluku coming back to the right, he did what he's good at. You know, he took the man on the outside, beat him for pace, and went round him the long way. Got into a great position, pulled the ball back brilliantly, and IT really couldn't miss from there. Great, great goal. And that's why I like to see Aluku playing wide, and especially on the wing, obviously, but on the right, he seems to have become more of a threat than on the left, because he has that ability of going both ways. A little bit like, you know, a young, sprightly Damien Duff, who was, you know, quite small in stature, but was quite strong and managed to get to the line and put crosses in, or could cut back in on his left foot. In fact, Damien Duff was probably a lot better cutting in on his left foot and shooting, whereas Aluku can be a bit all over the place. But it's great work by Aluku there. Then, of course, we saw Tim Ream having God knows what he was doing, a mental aberration anyway. There was probably an easy ball for Button to clear it, but Tim Ream, right near his own goal, has tried to kind of, God knows what, be clever. You don't do that in that situation there, never. A big, big no-no for a professional footballer. And he got robbed by Omar Bogies, and who should have scored. And, you know, if I haven't fired a tweet yet at Tony Khan for not even considering Bogies to sign for Fulham, then I will be later, because this guy, for less than £1 million, he was a great striker. I was really impressed with him yesterday.
He played well.
Strong. He's strong. He's quick, dangerous. He really, you know, was unlucky not to score. That one there, he should have finished. But later in the second half, he could have easily had a goal or two. And, you know, no disrespect to Wigan. You know, if you had the choice of going to Fulham, who are challenging for a playoff, or Wigan, who are trying to stop being relegated, and also in terms of their location, I would have thought that London, you know, would have been a more sort of attractive draw for a footballer to come. So for less than £1 million, and probably not very big wages, this guy would have been definitely worth a punt, I think. So obviously my old friend Calvin Klein thought he was pants. Excuse the pun. Otherwise, we would have signed him. But I was very impressed with him, you know. Anyway, on to the goals. First goal. First goal actually came from a lucky clearance by Dan Byrne. Dan Byrne has just hoofed the ball forward and it's fallen just nicely to the Wigan player. He's put the cross in, and without Callas or whatever there was just no organisation. Nobody made an attempt really to challenge for the ball, apart from obviously Malone, who just ran into it and put it in the net. Should Button have come? Maybe. What was Maddle doing? I'm not sure. What was anyone doing? But, you know, the annoying thing, it's gone past Bogle and it's ended up in the back of the net. So, ridiculous goal to consider, like, to give away. Amateurish, that was. Schoolboy errors. I mean, Yanis's girls, I don't think, would have done that. It really was terrible.
No chance. No chance.
The only thing I can say is sometimes you get these hoofed clearances from defence turn out to be brilliant through balls. And by luck, it turned out to be a good ball by Dan Byrne. Second goal, I'm going to put this down to Tim Ream, unfortunately. Tim Ream has tried to, again, dribble the ball out of the area or do something with it. I didn't get a clear view. It was at the other end. But he's tried to, rather than make sure, he's tried to do that. And he sold, I think, McDonald short or somebody. They've nipped in, got possession, got the ball out wide, put in a dangerous cross. And there was a guy unmarked at the back post. Not sure if because Tim Ream was out of position or because someone else was out of position. But an absolute ridiculous situation. And, you know, from being fairly in control that half and having the majority of the play in the attack without maybe creating enough chances, you know, we found ourselves 2-1 down at half time. And, you know, rightly, there were people booing.
I heard that, David. And let me go right back to you because I want to focus on the defense, the bad defense. And you're talking about Tim Ream. And he was poor in this match. And I want to ask you this. Could he be his own worst enemy? He seems to try hard to show his skill at times instead of just doing the safe thing. He tries to, you know, try too much, try hard too much, overplay things, you know. So I want your thoughts on that. And also, did both of these mistakes that led to goals, could they be the fact that Thomas Callas was not in there?
I think that the thing that Tim Ream has is that he is an intelligent footballer in the main. He is able to use the ball on the ground. He's not a hoof it sort of player. If we wanted people to hoof it out of defence, he would have picked Sigurdsson, I think.
Right.
But, you know, Tim Ream, he's not blessed with ultimate pace. He's not blessed with being great in the air, but he is a useful footballer. You know, he doesn't just smack the ball away. He tries to use the ball and keep it, which is to his credit. But there's times when, as we all know, you just have to clear the ball and
Point safe.
You know, he's conceded. Yeah, you know, one goal has led to him not doing that, and nearly conceded another one. I can't, you know, it's without it being replayed out, it's impossible to say. But you wouldn't think that we would have committed such, you know, elementary errors with Callas in the team, because this guy has been head and shoulders above all the other defenders we have. And I have already fired.
And he's organized, David. He's organized too, and I think that was a problem too.
I've already fought. I have fired a tweet at Tony Khan for this one, so, you know, saying that, you know, why don't you and Calvin Klein realize we needed another central defender? We've got one very good
one. I saw that, David. I saw that. I was on that. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Sorry for dragging you into it. But yeah, you know, we've got one very good central defender. We've got three average ones. Unfortunately, our one very good one doesn't belong to us and he's been injured a bit. We need another one like him to play alongside him all the time. And to be at least in the team if he's injured or if he gets recalled or whatever happens. And that was, for me, you know, we did that show, me, you and Mike, I think, talking about who we need to get in the transfer window. And the things we identified most was another centre-back, a quality centre-back, a quality striker. We've done neither, not really. And you know, as a third choice, maybe a backup goalkeeper or another goalkeeper.
Correct.
And, you know, this is where we are now. We've come out of the transfer window. We haven't addressed the errors as centre-back. And without Thomas Callas, as you know, Mike said on Friday in the show that got canned, you know, our points per game is so much different with Callas in the team and Callas not in the team. Obviously, we would have slightly improved on that anomaly with the win yesterday. But still, you know, it's plain to see to everybody how good Callas is and how poor the other three are, especially by comparison when he's not in the team. This is a big gap that should have been plugged and it wasn't. And as I say, we only just about got away with it against one of the statistically poorest teams in the league yesterday.
It's a valid point, David. And I want to go back to you and then I want to go to Giannis, because Giannis brought up a good point earlier when he was talking about the relationship between Ream and Callas. And potentially this is where I want to ask you. Thomas Callas is by far the best central defender we have, best center back we have. I think Giannis is right. I think he actually helps out the other center back. I think he helps them raise their game. They're better when they play with him. When he's not in there, they're not at that level. Is that fair to say?
I think they raise their game. He helps them, and also it rubs off on him. I think it's absolutely
that's what I mean.
Clear.
Right.
It's clear to see. Ream, you know, Ream has been a
Ream
decent.
Has played well at times.
He has
not
been a decent
game.
Player. I mean, yeah. I wouldn't say he's been fantastic, but there's been very few errors from him. And if there has, it's always, you know, Callas normally mops up. And this is also the other thing we haven't talked about, but and then we'll talk about it in the second half. But McDonald also does a very, very important job in front of the back four. So I for one, was horrified yesterday when he got taken off. I know we were chasing the game, but with the defence we had to take McDonald off at that point, and then force someone like Johansson to sit back more, who offers, you know, something great going forward. I thought that was a bad move by Slavisa yesterday. And I think, okay. And you know, he realized that, you know, in the second half when he brought Parker on, that he had to correct that. We needed someone protecting the back four again. But you know, McDonald, credit where it's due to him. He's also been part of that. I think when you have McDonald and Callas there, you know, we have two very good things out of three, perhaps, in that center area. And you know, but McDonald, it leaves him a lot to do yesterday, and he was, you know, he found it hard. I don't think Maddle was awful, but I do think Ream struggled a lot without Callas's presence.
Okay, fantastic. That's why I wanted to bring that up. Okay, Giannis, over to you. I want your second half observations, and also feel free to chime in on what we've been talking about with the defense, especially the center back problems, because I think they showed itself at the end of the first half with these two major mistakes. But there were other things as well throughout the match that I think Fulham really missed Tomas Callas in this match.
Well, yeah, I mean, that first half mistake by Ream where he thought he was Messi and Ronaldo. I mean, if that had gone the back of the net, Slava might have got him to get onto the Wigan bus at the end of the game, gone back to Wigan and walked back to London on his own. Because, I mean, it was poor defending. The first goal that they scored, and I won't blame Button. It's a speculative thump forward, but I'm not sure what Malone was looking at. His body position was all wrong, and he's obviously seen that Button stayed on his line, and his body's angled right directly to the net. There's only one direction the ball's going to go. So I don't know what I like Malone, but it was an absolute brain fart if ever I saw it. So we've gifted him a goal, and the second goal we were at nines and tens. It was a comedy. In fact, it was so comedic that if you look at the lad who scored the goal, he couldn't even do his goal celebration right. He fell over. I mean, it summed up. It was just the comedy of him running over like a headless chicken, falling over, cheering to the Wigan supporters, of which there were two and a dog called Stephen. You know, and everybody looking at this one going, "Are we 2-1 down at this bunch of clowns?" And the answer is yes, against a team who haven't beaten us in 16 games. I mean, it's and we're thinking to us that, you know, fans are going, "Oh, we're getting the playoffs." Playoffs? We're defending like that. We should be Rotherham, let alone Fulham. I mean, it was terrible. They created out of nothing. And to go in 2-1 at halftime was disappointing. Second half, you know, lots of possession, lots of sideways stuff. Not as much penetration, not as many shots as net. He's made the subs, but trying to think in Slava's head, he's gone, we can't be losing the list. Oh, we can't even draw. I'm going to go for it. I'm just going to throw strikers on. He's bought Martin off. Praise the Lord. He's bought Cabana on. Cabana made a big difference. Syriac, not so much, but he bought lots of pace. I was sorry to see Aluka and McDonald come off, but that's what he had to do, obviously, to get Parker back in, bring some stability. And Dave was right, there was a little disjointed, but we asked the questions and we imposed ourselves. And the goal by Odoi was a super goal. I think that Jilks would like that one back. I think he should have got something to it. I don't know whether he was deceived, whether it bent slightly, but it was a goal out of nothing. And then the goal that Cabano scored was an absolute beaut. But again, it was such a tight angle. It was one of those where, you know, Byrne could got his boot to it, but it's gone on the back of the net. And so, in other words, to sum it up, we've had we've asked some good questions the second half, and we've worked hard to get the result, but we've had a bit of luck. And I love Slava's after-game comments. He talked about he's happy with the win, but he wasn't happy with some elements of the performance. And I think that's good, because tomorrow he's going to say, look, we can't be giving out daft schoolboy goals like that. It's nonsense. We're playing Forest, and Forest won't be easy. They just got hammered yesterday. They'll be in a snarly mood. If we defend like that, we'll be, again, 2-1 down, whatever it's going to be. And if we think we're going to get back into this race, we've got to beat these teams. So, and that's a sign for me, of good coaching. It really is. It's, you know, when you win, you're never as good as you think you are. And he'll have told his players, we won, but it wasn't good enough, and we have to improve. And that's why the lineup on Tuesday intrigues me. Is Callas going to be back? And if Callas isn't back, is he going to make changes? How is he going to make them? Does he keep the formation? So I've got a couple of ideas about how that might look.
Okay.
But I'll be intrigued to see what happens.
Okay, we'll get there in just a bit. And Giannis, you basically brought us into the second half, so I don't really need to go through any observations, except for maybe one or two, just a few, David. And then I want your observations, because I just want to mention that Wigan had about three decent chances to score, one very early on in the 52nd minute. Omar Bogle should have scored here to make it 3-1. But David Button, just a great save here. So I want to give some serious credit to Dave Button, because I think he made some really key saves, especially in the second half for Fulham. And like I said, there were three situations, one in stoppage time specifically, that thankfully did not go in the back of the net. And David Button stepped up here. So I just want to mention that. David, over to you. I want your second half observations, my friend.
Well, yeah, it was a frustrating match, as I say, because we obviously had that blow of starting, you know, with a killer punch right before half time. So obviously, you know, it started. We haven't really made a lot of progress, to be honest with you. So there has been sort of fairly early movement by Slavisa with the substitutes. Now, I personally don't say I was shocked to see Martin coming off, because, you know, he wanted to give Syriac a good run, and he kind of plays in that similar position normally. The one that shocked me was McDonald, though, however, because I feared that chasing the game, we would leave ourselves very exposed with our weaker defence. And, you know, and we really were for a while, because they had several good chances to score, Wigan, in that period. So I was surprised to see him bring on Cabano at that point and reorganise. If anyone was going to go, although he scored the goal, I thought it might be Aiti, because I thought he was causing the least problems. His touch wasn't very good. He scored that goal, but his touch wasn't very good yesterday. The difference between Aiti and what maybe someone like Piazon brings, Piazon plays all this little close, short football, and he seems to fit in better with the sort of football that you see from Kearney and Johansson and even Chris Martin, whereas Aiti tends to be a little bit more, he tries to be more expansive. He tries to take people on more. But there were more balls went astray, more balls were lost. So I wouldn't have been surprised actually to see Aiti go and Cabano come on the left. But he's made the change. And to be honest with you, the problem I found is that it was a little bit like headless chickens in the second half for a while. We had these very similar kind of looking players. Fairly small, fairly quick. In Cabano and Aiti and Aluku and Syriac running around. Kearney and Johansson were having to sit back more to cover the fact that that McDonald had gone off. So, of course, Kearney, they weren't able to link as well as they normally do. So I found it became very disjointed. We stopped holding the ball up as well. So although we were sort of challenging, the ball was coming back at us a lot quicker. And, you know, there was a number of chances, obviously, for Wigan. And the best one probably came just after we got the goal. It was a great strike by Adoy. I'm not sure if it didn't take a touch, which took the keeper out, because okay. I think it's as Giannis said, that's probably as a keeper, that's one you want to be saving there. But it looked like, I think again it was Dan Byrne or somebody. It looked like there was a touch or a deflection as it went through. I haven't been able to get a good conclusive view of it from the video. But a great strike by Adoy. He was obviously delighted with it. A great backflip there as well. To get us back in the game. And that was obviously following a tackle outside the box. So we did at least the fact that we had these guys, these quick guys running around, we were drawing the tackles. I think the play was very disjointed. And, you know, we had a few situations of lumping long ball forwards. And we had like a load of midgets up front, really. Like, these guys, they're probably bigger than they look, but it looked like we was playing with, you know, a lot of short guys up front and banging long balls, especially when you got Dan Byrne there. We just weren't holding the ball up. At least with Martin, we tend to hold the ball up better. So we kind of took away our ability to hold the ball up front. So it was relying very much on winning the ball and keeping the ball. But it was all a bit too harem scarem. But we got ourselves, we got our foot in the door, got back in the game with the equaliser from Odoi, which is great. But then almost immediately, we gave them the lead again. You know, the guys got into the box much too easy. And he's had a one-on-one with Button. And Button's made a very, very good save. Diving down to his left, full stretch, one-handed. I thought it was going in. I think everyone around me thought it was going in. But he's made a great save there to deny the guy. He's also, obviously, there's been another save he's made. I think it was Tim Ream again got turned. He got turned by Bogle later in the match while it was still 2-2. Bogle has turned him much too easy. And Button has just, you know, gone down with his legs to kind of block the shot from Bogle. Shame on Tim Ream there being turned so easily by Bogle, but clearly this guy's got some talent. He's strong. And then of course, right before the winner, almost balls come right across the face of goal again, just waiting for a tap to go in. Yeah. And somewhere between Odoi and Button, it's been smothered at the far post where a goal looked likely. And yeah, from that almost we've gone up the other end and there's been a great ball into the air. I think it was a cross ball by Kearney. Cabano's taken a touch, taking it inside the defender, and he's shot towards the far corner, beating the goalkeeper, but Dan Byrne has slid and helped it go in. Yeah. And I really don't know, I whether it was going to go in or not. Certainly it was after it touched Dan Byrne, but I'm not absolutely convinced it would have missed or hit the post or something. But, you know, we're thankful for that. And, you know, couldn't be a better time to score. It literally was the end of the game. The ref hardly had any time to restart. So there's this kind of hollow feeling of euphoria because it was, I think most people on the cottage, it was disbelief that we actually managed to get something out of the match after all the chances that Wigan had in the second half to kill us off and how we struggled. But I think it helped a bit when Parker came back on. That allowed Kearney and Johansson, sorry, I had in a brain fart there, Kearney and Johansson to go backward. And we were much more of a unit again then. So I think that was, you know, a lesson for Slivisa as well. Disappointed really to see Aluku taken off because I think Aluku is the one person that does something different to the other guys. You know, all the Aiti and Sirak and Cabana like to run with the ball. They like to run at defenders. Aluku, though, despite his sometimes inability to shoot or play accurate passes, he's got this kind of magnet-like ability with the ball. He holds the ball much better than anyone else, and he holds the play up, and he brings other people into the play more than others. And he has that devastating pace more than anyone else, really, to take people on. So, yeah, we got there in the end anyway. Excuse me, let me mute myself.
Not a problem, David. All right. Very good analysis by the two of you on this match. And just for time's sake, I'm not going to go through the stats. Let's just say the stats favor Fulham, especially in possession and shots on target. Corners, you know, attempted passes pretty much in the favor of Fulham. Like I mentioned, let's just get to man of the match and rating Slavisa. So, David, before I go to you to get your man of the match, because you already told me you potentially have a controversial man of the match, so I want to hear this. But before I do that, I actually asked the Fulham supporters on the Cottage Talk Facebook page their thoughts on man of the match, and this is what I got, and then I'll go to you, David. Let's start with Mark Anthony Cutler, David Button, Roger Lewis, David Button, Barney Howe, Dennis Orsone or Floyd for me. I can't pick one. Toby Wardsmith said Odoi or Cabano. Nick J. O'Shea, Aluko. Andrew Iliff, Aluko. Ben Reed, Aluko. Richard Bamber, Aluko. The Button made some fine saves, which most seem to miss when generally moaning about him. Okay, Chris Bonk said Bogle. Although he should have scored, he made our defense look like schoolboys against a man. Okay, very good. And then Maureen Grimwood said Scar Parker. He galvanized the defense. David, you mentioned that. So very interesting choices here for man of the match. How about you, David? Who's your controversial pick?
Well, I obviously not as controversial as I thought it was then. I found it difficult to find an outstanding player yesterday because I don't think there was one. But without David Button's key saves in the second half, we wouldn't have been in the game. So
I agree.
Despite the fact that, yeah, he wasn't perfect and you could ask questions on the first goal maybe and everything else, you know, he made some really good vital saves second half. You know, one from Bogle especially, and the one from the other chap, I don't know his name, who I thought it was a certain goal. Without either of those, we wouldn't have won the game. So, yeah, for me, David Button yesterday.
Okay, very good. Yanis, how about you?
Oh, Button. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because it's not the saves you make, it's when you make the saves. And but for him, we'd have lost that game yesterday. I thought, you know, I've been fairly critical of Button. I think he's still at times he looks nervous in that. But he made the critical saves at the right times that gave us a chance to come back in this game. And even, you know, when we got to 2-2, he still made a couple of saves that kept us in it. I thought he had a very, very good game. So I'm hoping it's the game that's going to maybe launch him forward in terms of confidence. I think he's probably going to start against Forest, and I think he deserves man of the match.
Okay, very good. David, let's rate Slavisa to end this post-match part of our show today.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, some of the changes were foisted upon Slavisa, so you can't say that, oh, you know, he made a mistake dropping Callas or dropping Fredericks because he had no choice with those. But I do think that, you know, we weren't set up quite right. Whatever reason against Wigan, we let Wigan back into the game too much. Maybe that's not Savisa's fault if the players just don't have the ability. I do question the decision to take McDonald off because I think he realised it was wrong and had to change it. And I do worry about when he takes Aluko off, because Aluko is the one who does offer something different all the time. He can hold the ball, and holding the ball up is very important to the way we play. Without holding the ball up, it doesn't bring other people into the game in the same way. To a lesser extent, Chris Martin, although I know Chris Martin had a poor game yesterday by his standards. I'm going to give Slavisa 7 because we got there in the end, but I don't think he quite got there the right way. I think it could have been a lot less strain on the heart, to be honest with you. But 7 out of 10, we got a win nevertheless. Dug it out.
Okay, very good. Yanis, how about you on Slavisa?
I'm going to give Slavisa 8. I'm not sure what more he could have done with the starting lineup, with the, you know, obviously the loss of Fredericks and Callas. He made attacking substitutions when he needed to. There's not a lot he can do with about some of the defensive nonsense that went on during the first half. And one of the things that I come away from the game with is really a savage indictment against the ownership here, because we needed to make signings at the transfer deadline, and most of the teams around us bulked up for whatever reason. We sold Matt Smith to the ha-has. But if you look at the lineup defensively yesterday, okay, Adoy's coming for Fredericks. We've got Sigurdsson sitting on the bench. But the loss of one player shouldn't have such a cataclysmic and catastrophic impact on the back four.
I agree with you 100%, Yanis. Go ahead.
And that right there is an indictment against the ownership. Because if we are so reliant on one player, that bringing one player in, and Maddle's a decent player, and having someone like Sigurdsson on the bench means that we're undertaking and completing schoolboy errors that you saw yesterday in the first half, then defensively we clearly don't have enough depth. And I'll put that at the feet of the ownership, because they must have known that we didn't have the depth. We at least, as David talked about, we needed at least one centre-back. And if I'm Slava, right, I'm pulling my hair out. I'm absolutely pulling my hair out going, what a bunch of clowns. We can create lots of chances, but we can't defend a lick against poor teams. And the thing that's worried me about this transfer deadline is that he's kept very quiet about, you know, the signings that were and weren't made, and what his plans are going to be at the end of the year, and whether or not we're going to lose him. Because if we lose Slava because our ownership couldn't get their heads out of their asses and spend money to provide at least some strength in breadth and depth defensively that we clearly need, that was illustrated by some of the nonsense we were seeing yesterday, then, you know what, shame on the ownership, and the fans have every right to be pissed off about it. You know, you can boo the team all you want, I get that. But Slava, you know, he must have gone, you know, what is this? You know, 50-yard ball that's chested into your own net. I mean, as an example, that sort of crazy nonsense, and but for Button, it could have been a, we could have got real thumped yesterday. So I think that's the thing for me. It's my feeling about the Khans. They knew the situation. The fans know the situation. The coaches knew the situation. And yet, if Kallas is out for a long time and we lose another centre-back, we're shit out of luck here. It's really, we're going to end up eighth, as David said. Wake up from a coma 10 years from now and we're going to end up being ninth. And that's a shame because we've got the makings of a very, very good team.
We do, Giannis. And listen, I'm glad that you mentioned it. It's fair to say David's already said it. Me, Mike, and David talked about the lack of getting another center back, how they needed one. They have not done it. So it's a fair criticism. And I don't blame you for saying that. I don't blame David for sharing his thoughts on it. I'm still disappointed from the transfer window. I shared that on the transfer window special. That hasn't changed. I'm still disappointed. They did not do enough. And they might have caused us not to get in the playoffs for not doing enough, for not going that extra mile. Yeah. So it's a fair criticism. Did they try? They probably tried. But in the end, we judge by what they did, and they did not do enough. So, Giannis, it's a fair criticism. So I have no problem at all with you sharing that. And David, before we move on, any thoughts about what Giannis shared? I have a feeling that you agree with him.
Oh, certainly. I mean, yeah. I mean, next time I tweet Tony Khan, Giannis, to put the boot in, do you want me to include you on that tweet as well,
yeah,
then?
Oh, yeah. No, no. No, tell them to get their heads out of their proverbial asses, because if you look at the Jacksonville Jaguars and the amount of money they spend, and hey, Russ and I follow NFL closely.
Oh, they're spending money.
A shitload of money. You mean to tell me you couldn't get us a decent centre-back? Even if you're not going to get one that's going to go straight into the back four, at least they provide the depth. So if someone like Kallas, we lose Kallas, we have someone in there where you don't miss a beat. But there's such a marked difference between Kallas and the rest that even, you know, a guy with half a brain cell is going to figure it out. And it just goes to show you can have as much money in your bank account as we've seen from Donald J. Trump, but you could be as thick as a whale omelette. And surely the ownership must have seen this, because the fans have been yelling and moaning about this. We just don't have it at the back. And yet, we were all nervous yesterday. And at halftime, we were all looking at each other going, oh, God, so who do we love on the bench? Oh, Ragnar Sigurdsson. No disrespect. Sigurdsson's a good defender with the right defender as a partner. Same with Ream, same with Madl. But you, Kallas is that fulcrum. And anyways. Yes, the answer is, David, yes. Give him my email. Give him my Twitter feed. You can give me my mother-in-law's address if you want.
Oh, boy. Okay, we went there. Okay. All right. Excellent stuff from the two of you. I always enjoy doing the show with the two of you. Like I said, it's the comedy team of Giannis and David. I really enjoy it. Or David and Giannis, you guys can fight about that. All right. Let's move on. Let's now preview the upcoming match against Nottingham Forest, which is an important match. And I'm just going to share some information with you guys from whoscored.com and also just some details that came from their last match, because they did lose badly, 5-1. But there are some things that happened in that match that could affect this one. I'll mention that as well. Let's start with the characteristics that I got from whoscored.com. Let's talk about the strengths of Nottingham Forest. Very strong at creating chances through individual skill. Strong at creating chances using through balls. Coming back from losing positions. Finishing scoring chances. Stealing the ball from the opposition. Their weaknesses. They are weak at aerial duels and protecting the lead. They're very weak at avoiding fouling in dangerous areas. They're also very weak at defending against attacks down the wings, defending against through ball attacks, avoiding individual errors, and defending set pieces. Their style of play, attack down the left. They take long shots, play in their own half. They are aggressive. They rotate their first 11. Opponents play aggressively against them in the last match. They did play a 4-2-3-1. The two things I want to mention that came from this match, and we'll see if one of them plays out. One definitely will, and that's Eric Lehigh got suspended for the upcoming game because he got two yellows and was sent off, so he will not be in the match against Fulham. He is their starting right back, so that's something to look at. And also, their starting goalkeeper went out injured. Now, I don't know if he'll be ready to return against Fulham, but that's something else to think about. Now, let's look at their leading goal scorer is Britt Asambolanga. He is a danger man to look out for. They've made a few key additions. We have to mention both of them. One is Zach Clough. He's actually a player I wanted Fulham to get from Bolton. He's a dangerous player. And also Ross McCormack, who scored a goal in this match that they lost 5-1. So those are just some information to share with you guys. And like I mentioned, they lost their last match 5-1. And so it is a team that is reeling a little bit. So it'll be interesting to see which team shows up. Will it be a team that is galvanized because of the loss, and they realize that things are not going well, and they'll, you know, put it all together? Or could this be a game that Fulham could actually really go in and win handily? It's a fascinating matchup. So, David, I'm going to start with you. Just thoughts on the information I shared, and just Nottingham Forest in general going into this match.
Well, Forest obviously, have lost one of their star players in Henry, trying to be Gareth Bale with his top knot and stupid beard, Lansbury, which is a good for us. And you say that obviously they might be without their goalkeeper and fullback. So, again, it's a winnable match. You know, the funny thing is, obviously, the listeners wouldn't have heard this because of the fact that the show didn't go out on Friday, but my concern that I had, if you remember, was that actually, according to WhoScored.com, Wigan were superior to us in several in several areas, which, you know, sounds weird, but I don't think it ended up. You know, one of the anomalies I found out really was that Dan Byrne was a better player than Tim Ream, according to WhoScores.com, and I don't think it was completely ridiculous. You know, as it panned out, to be honest with you, it really didn't. So, I think. You've got to kind of have a little bit and have a look at these things sometimes. You really have, because it's I know statistics are only one thing, and obviously, you know, we didn't sign any centre backs in the window because our old friend Calvin Klein decided that, you know, they were pansies. I've done that joke already, haven't I? So I'm not going to do that joke again. Sorry about that. It's a bit like that show we had, Yanis, where we had all the cheese jokes. I'm sure you remember that one, don't you?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
It's funny. I had to drive to Fulham yesterday because there were no trains, and I have to go past the village of Stilton, which is in Cambridgeshire, on my way through. And it reminded me of my Peter Stilton joke, if you remember that one.
Oh, from, yes, I do.
Yanis? That's got to be one of my worst ever jokes, hasn't it, really?
It was terrible. Absolutely shocking.
It was. No more cheesy jokes anyway, to rehash that one. But yeah, looking at the strengths, you know, on this one, we have four very strong areas and two strong. Forest have one very strong and four strong. So already we are better there. Weaknesses, aerial duels for us and stopping opponents from creating chances. Yeah, I'd go with that. That's two very weaknesses and two weaknesses. But they've got loads of, you know, very weaknesses. Fouling in dangerous areas, which could be useful for us because we like to run at people. Defending against attacks down the wings, again, could be useful. Defending against three balls, maybe. Individual errors. I mean, you know, you look at it, and to be honest with you, we are the better team. It says it's extremely likely we're going to control the game. We will score from wing play situations. We will score from a direct free kick. What have they been watching? When do we score for direct free kicks? Extremely likely that we will, anyway. Very likely that Forest will be showing a high number of cards. That's good. Very likely that Fulham will make a comeback if they go behind. Yeah, maybe so. Very likely Nottingham Forest will score as a result of individual skill. Well, that's what we have to watch out for. I think that the whole match, the pivotal thing is that this is a match that we should win, but we may slip on. Will depend on whether Kallas is fit to resume at all on Tuesday. If Kallas is fit to resume, I think that half the problems that we saw yesterday will be gone. You know, according to WhoScored.com, our best players are Kearney, Johansson and Kallas. I would actually probably say that it was the other way around, Kallas, Johansson and Kearney, or even Johansson, Kallas and Kearney. But, you know, and their best player is Henry Lansbury. Who's he? He's gone. So E Fox, isn't that someone in EastEnders, I believe? Sorry, you won't get that one either, Russ.
That's okay. That's okay, David.
But I mean, we are on top over them. This is certainly a winnable game. I don't know if there's any odds from, I mean, the WhoScored.com. There's a few odds at the side of the game. Fulham to win 1.57, draw 4, Nottingham Forest 5.5. The money's on us to win this game. But I think between it being a nervy win and being a certain win will be whether or not we see Mr. Kallas back in the starting lineup.
Okay, that's a very good analysis, my friend. All right, Yanis, over to you. Opening thoughts on this match, and also want to get your key players for this game for Fulham. Who has to have a good game for them to win?
Oh, this is a game I'm a little worried about, if only because they got royally stuffed yesterday, and I know they lost the keeper, but you know that they're bound to get a reaction, and you know, of course McCormack is coming back. That should be a good bloody laugher. But you're right about, I mean, Zach Clough's a good player. Asamba Longa tends to play well against us. Although he was subbed yesterday, McCormack only got half an hour's playing time. That's only because he could probably only survive 5 minutes without needing an oxygen mask. But they've got caretaker managers there, and Gary Brazil is in at the moment until the end of the season. And it's a big thumping. But I think there's two ways you look at this. They're either coming down, or, you know, the fact that there's a game so soon after a thumping like that, they can certainly rebound. They don't worry me on paper. But, you know, it's still one of those games where you just go, well, you know, we're 6 points behind. If we've got any chance, we've got to beat this lot. And I don't see any reason why we can't. They tend to be high-scoring affairs against Forest. But a lot will depend on if we get Callas back. If we can get Callas back, I don't see any reason why we can't beat them. Forest have been an anomaly for me. I'm not really sure what's happened up at City Ground. They've got a better team than their record suggests, but they've had a very disappointing year. And I know it's a difficult division, but they've got to make some major changes. And I think a measure of the panic, Russ, is the fact that they bring someone like McCormack in to this. A player whose, you know, history and track record is dysfunctional. And there's more and more horror stories coming out of Villa Park about. And really, you'd think that would be someone you try and avoid if you possibly can, but they brought him in, and he can't even start. So, I mean, what's that telling you? And actually, I didn't. If I'm looking now at the thing, I noticed there was no sign of Nicholas Bentner either.
I saw that too, Giannis. I don't think, you know, I don't know how much he's been playing lately.
I think he's probably at some burger joint eating and restyling his hair, because that's what he's very, very good at. But it's a game we should be able to win, providing, you know, Slava imparts the importance of team, you know, team defense concept and shape, and making sure we're not shooting ourselves in the foot. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed. Good crowd. Forest usually bring a good following down. So I'm hopeful we're going to get 3 points.
Okay, very good, David. Over to you. How to Fulham win this match? What would be your strategy if you were Slavisa? How would you attack Nottingham Forest?
Well, you know, we saw yesterday that when the ball's at the other end, you know, that's the best form of attack, obviously. But we didn't see it enough yesterday. I think it's very important to pick players who are going to hold the ball up. So if Chris Martin isn't selected, if we go with Syriac, then I would almost consider, and, you know, controversial is maybe not playing Aiti and playing Piazon instead, because Piazon is a better guy who can hold the ball up and link play than Aiti. Siak will just run at them. We have to change our whole style. We'll be needed to get in around the back and get low balls in, because a high ball strategy isn't going to work with that. But obviously, I think I'd be going to a medicine woman or something, or a witch or something. Get a magic potion to get Callas back would be the way to win the game. Certainly, whatever it takes to get him back in the team. He's got a problem with his hip, I believe. Well, I'm not very hip either. I still like 80s music. I can't deal with any of this new stuff.
I'm right there with you. I like 80s music too.
Yeah, so, you know, he's not very hip. So, you know, play him nonstop ABBA and Duran Duran.
Love Duran Duran. In an oxygen
chamber or something for the next 24 hours, and maybe his hip will be better. He'll get his hip back. I don't know. Getting Callas back is important. But as I say, if we're not going to play Martin, then think about very carefully, because I think I would prefer someone like Piazon to hold the ball up.
That's very interesting.
Who else is going to hold the ball up, really? Maybe Aluka a little bit. And make sure McDonald plays. Don't even toy with the idea of sacrificing McDonald to try and play a more attacking game, because it just means the more attacking players will have to defend more, which is not what you want. McDonald does that job there. Yeah. And especially with the weaker defence, have McDonald in. Don't even think about changing the goalkeeper. That would be counterproductive. Whether Bettinelli's better or not, I think after Button saving us, I think he got a bad deal yesterday on Twitter, Button. That's why I thought it was going to be controversial when I put him as my man of the match. Because
I thought he played well, David. I don't get that. I thought he played well.
I saw a lot of abuse and people saying get Bettinelli back in, which I think is a bit unkind because people obviously undervalued what Button did yesterday. Yes, he's not. I would like him to be a lot better than he is. I would like him to be more dominating of his box, but I'm not sure if Bettinelli would offer that particularly. You know, look at the disruption we had with changing the back four yesterday. We had two or three changes, I think, didn't we, to the back four? We had three changes from the team that started at Birmingham because Fredericks was out, Callas was out, and he started with Malone back in. Don't make more changes by start changing the goalkeeper on a defence that has the ability to be fragile. Keep the team as much as you can. But as I say, if you're not going to play Martin, play Piazon, I think would be my I don't know how to win the match, but how to provide a more sort of stable setting for the game.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right. Yanis, over to you. Starting 11, what would you do?
I would make sure they're all wearing white shirts. That would be important for me.
Well, that's good.
And let's not... It's Valentine's Day on Tuesday, isn't it?
It is.
Yes, it is. And I was going to come to this in my... I'll wait for it for the closing thoughts about some advice for men. but I'm going to sort of start off by saying that you've got no good excuse to be doing something else while going out to boring dinners and boring movies, and that's to go and support Fulham. In terms of this Tuesday's game, looking at this lineup, if Callas is available, he comes in. And I like the idea... David's idea about bringing Lucas Piazon in. I'd be tempted to actually bring him over Martin and then just go at them. If their backup keeper's going to be in, then I think we can go hell for leather at them, just providing we maintain our shape. If Callas is in, I'm very confident we're going to win it. But I'd keep the same lineup with the exception if Callas can come in, in which case he comes in for Maddle, and Piazon coming in for Martin, and then keep it as is, and that'll be a go. Those are subtle changes compared to the ones that Forest are probably going to have to make.
Sure.
You know, with the loss, obviously loss of Lehigh gone, and the keeper probably gone as well. So that would be my 11. Just those two changes, probably.
Okay, very good. All right, David, it's time for your prediction, unless you want to add anything to the starting 11. I thought you kind of went through it, but if you have anything else you want to share on that, feel free to, and then give your prediction.
Without Callas, something in the region of a loss by one goal to a win by one goal. So anything from like 2-1 to Forest to 2-1 to us. But with Callas, we can win this 3-0 or something like that. It makes a big difference.
Okay. So basically, you're sitting on the fence like you always do. You're just giving options.
Obviously.
Okay, fair enough. Giannis, give a prediction. Don't be like Holly here.
I'm going to say 2-1 Fulham. I think we'll get a reaction from Forest from yesterday's thrashing at the hands of those disgusting yellow birds. But I still think we've got too much. I think that the late win and the manner of the win will buoy us. And it'll be an interesting night though. McCormack coming back.
That's right.
To the cottage. Yeah, so it's going to be a good crowd. It'll be a bigger crowd than yesterday. They had 15,500. It'll be a bigger crowd Tuesday night. Great excuse for men to get out, to get away from their misses and girlfriends, you know, or partners, because it's Valentine's Day. You got to go and watch your beloved Fulham, because of course things have to take precedence. Love can take place the other 364 days a year. But on this particular night against Nottingham Forest, unfortunately, love must come second.
Okay, Giannis, very good. All right, I'm going to go 3-1 to Fulham. No, David, I'm not going to predict goal scores, but I'm going 3-1. I'm going out there. I think we're going to win this, but I am going to predict a goal score for Nottingham Forest. I am going to predict a goal by Ross McCormack.
Oh, God.
I'm not going to predict a goal for us, but I'm just going to say 3-1 to Fulham. All right. Right, before we wrap it up, David has something he wants to share with me or ask me. So, David, the floor is yours.
Well, thanks. Obviously, Giannis has brought up a point there about, you know, my wife said to me, actually, you know, it's the night of love on Tuesday. So I'm not going to tell you which one to choose yet, she said, but obviously I want you to demonstrate to me, you know, who's the most important thing in your life, whether it's Fulham or
David, please don't make the wrong decision here.
So, yeah, it's a terrible shame, obviously, but, it's been nice knowing her for 20 years anyway. That's all I can say. No, but thankfully my mother-in-law's in a different country, so I don't have the same problem that Yanis has. But anyway, what I wanted to ask you, Russ, yes. Very important question there. I've been contacted in confidence by Detective Inspector Anthea Evans of the New Zealand CID. Okay. Who's, she has a lead in the disappearance of Tom Brady's shirt from Super Bowl. And the rumor is that it's hanging on a frame above your fireplace, Russ. I needed to question you about that. So could you please let me know so I can pass this back to Detective Inspector of the Anthea Evans of the New Zealand CID?
Oh, well, you can tell her I don't have it. The only thing I have hanging is I'm looking at a Berbatov shirt. But I do not have the Tom Brady shirt, David. So you can pass that on.
Okay. Do you have any deflated balls?
David, hey! David, what kind of question was that? No, I don't.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
Dave, he will have if he doesn't put his wife's shopping away. I'll tell you.
Oh, God, hey, let's encourage bad. Stephanie to put the boot in. What do you think, Yanis?
Yeah.
Come on, Stephanie.
We're recording this, by the way, just so you know, and I'm not cutting this out. We're recording this. Okay.
Good.
Very funny from the two of you. Yanis, final thoughts before we go.
Well, actually, this is on an extremely somber note, and I'm sad to report this. Now, Tuesday, and this is actually to do with David Button. Tuesday night of Tuesday is obviously Valentine's Day, and I'm not sure, David, if you've had the fortune of having the release of a new film that's just come out called 50 Shades Darker, which is the follow-up to 50 Shades of Grey. Have you heard of that film, David?
Yes, of course, we have both. Yeah,
gotcha. Yeah, well, it comes out on Tuesday night, and of course the reference to David Button and Button's being undone as a result of watching the movie. And I'm saying the prayer for every man out there who's listening that they do not have to be subjected to be going on Tuesday night to have to take their significant other out to watch a film like this. I do pray, and I hope that they are not forced or coerced or threatened with deflated balls with the notion of having to take them out. So I'm hoping to God that you stay strong and that you keep your will accordingly, and that you resist the temptation to go and watch what has been described by Rotten Tomatoes as a 9% film, which is absolutely disgusting. My other final point is actually very different, guys. Yesterday, as I was listening to the Fulham game, I had the pleasure of watching a rugby match, Wales against England, the Six Nations, and it's a sport we never obviously talk about here, but those of you out there, and I know many of you that are big rugby fans, Russ, rugby is not as big in the US as I think it could be and should be, but right now the level of competition of Six Nations over in Europe is so phenomenally high that the average tournament attendances for Six Nations, which is England, Scotland, Ireland, Wales, France and Italy, is higher than in any sports tournament in the world. And I watched the Wales-England game yesterday, and it was such a pleasure to watch 80,000 fans getting on with each other, incredible rugby, incredible sportsmanship, intensity, in wonderful refereeing. The refereeing in rugby is something that all soccer fans could take note of, not just in terms of the way they conduct themselves, but the respect they get from the athletes and from the crowd. And it was a wonderful spectacle, and I just thought I'd mention that because it's incredible entertainment. If you get the chance, when you next go over, Russ, get a chance to go and see a Six Nations game, because I've been lucky enough to see many, and it is quite an event. And so I just thought I'd mention that. So I'm praying for you men out there. Do not go to watch 50 Shades Darker. I've already been asked by the wife, and I've told her that I would rather have parts of my inner organs removed without anesthetic than have to spend a nanosecond in a theater with her watching that drivel.
Okay. Very good. All right. My final thought is back to you, David. Listen, Tuesday night, Valentine's Day, please do the right thing. Don't go to Craven Cottage, David. That's my final thought.
Are you kidding me? No, don't say that. Don't say that. Hey, Dave. Yeah. Dave, if your wife has to do that to you, you're an unlucky man, because my missus would be pissed off if we didn't go to Craven Cottage.
Okay.
You'd be like, what are you doing? We're not going out for dinner. We're going to see Fulham. That would be, that's the kind of wife you want. So she'd let you take you anywhere. That's the sort of romantic evening you need.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, best of luck to you, David. That's all I have to say. Best of luck. All right. Fantastic show from the two. This is so much fun. Really, the comedy team of Holly and Janaeus. We'll call it Holly and Janaeus. How about that?
H&T.
H&T was excellent. This is one of our best episodes. David, I know I always say that, but I enjoyed this. So
it was lovely.
All right. It's time to wrap this up. For Giannis and David, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk.